890. Scott Anderson.
Yes, Terry.
Siebes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to ask you, and I've had you on before, Mix had you on before, but I'll tell you what, when we first started doing Ag News 890, we're doing the market reports, and people are calling us going, you know, we do have canola that we do grow in your listening area, and it would be nice to get some prices on canola, and you know what? We're doing that now. So hopefully we're making everyone in the northern part of the valley happy because we are reading those canola prices. But let's talk about Siebes, and we were talking off-air about some of the great things going on with Siebes, and you kind of mentioned to me that the non-transgenic new science with, well, market premiums.
Yes.
Okay. What are we talking about there? Explain that a little bit.
We've come up with a very good plant breeding system that's beyond GMO. It's about 20 years beyond GMO. We do what we call gene editing. We developed what we call rapid trait development system, so we're able to work within a plant's own genes without inserting any foreign genes to make an event happen, to make a change in the plant that's positive that we want, that would ultimately could happen in nature. All the regulatory agencies around the world have deemed us non-transgenic, but we're doing something similar, making positive changes like disease-free potatoes, for example, that we're developing. We'll have the first Roundup-ready non-transgenic crop here in a couple of years. But our current offering, the one we're handling right now, is we call it SU canola. We're able to spray a herbicide that would normally kill a canola without killing it. It's non-transgenic, so we're able to bargain with the marketplace for a premium on that because we can grow a high-yielding crop with a non-transgenic. We can get paid as a... There's markets for these things. You know, there's Europe is all non-GMO, China non-GMO. I think I read somewhere GMO crops are only about 11% of the world's planted acres.
So definitely an advantage with working with Siebes over any other company that handles, well, canola.
Yeah.
So if we're going to get a hold of Scott Anderson from Siebes, we don't have to go all the way to California where the headquarters is. We can actually call him here.
Yes, and I work with a good gentleman named Garrett Groves out of Devil's Lake, and we have we'll probably be adding people. We're growing. So we have some good experiences last year in a wide range of growing environments. Of course, last year was a good growing year.
Didn't matter what you grew, it grew.
Yeah, if you knew how to grow it, too. You have to have some expertise.
Well, yeah, there's a little agronomics involved.
There's weeds, you know, there's diseases, there's things, lessons learned all the time. But oil crop, well, soybeans, great crop. Did they save the farm in many areas? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and so we get the question, can I replace some low-value wheat with canola? Yeah, that's what's happening. People are, in some areas, are going back to it. In northern Minnesota, they're growing too many soybeans, and you can insert canola in there, and they have wheat on the farm still, but it's a good crop. Especially if you can get a high yield, 2,000 to 2,500 pounds is even up to 3,000 pounds in certain areas, eastern North Dakota, western Minnesota, and some parts of north central North Dakota, you can get up to. So it's a good paying crop. Some of the price right now is up $20 a hundredweight at West Fargo with Siebes canola. We got a market premium. We have added two handling facilities this year, which is real positive. One here at Berthold, not far from Minot, and one at Alson. And they're handling facilities. Growers store their own canola, basically get paid for storage. Cargill calls them. They bring it into Berthold. They consolidate on rail, send it to West Fargo and get extra dollars for doing that. Same with Alson, but we'll be trucking it from Alson. It's up between Devil's Lake and Langdon up there. There's a lot of canola up in that area.
Now, that I got to ask you that question because all year long, and we do crop updates every week. As a matter of fact, we do crop updates every day talking to people that work out in the field, actually seeing what's going on out there. And I'll tell you what, Northeast North Dakota, Northwest Minnesota, all summer long got nailed with more rain than anybody ever needs. So how'd the crops turn out?
Good. One guy told me after it was all over, for what we went through, we're happy, because they went through hell some cases. You know, they'd cut the crop, and I know one guy in Walhalla, he said water was bubbling out of the ground like his whole farm was a spring, because he had about 2 years worth of rain. There was potato late blight, like I mentioned, not well known about, but some left in the ground. And it's, how could you dig a potato when you're submerged, you know? So this is, no, there's lessons learned again. White mold, you spray for white mold when NDSU tells you that it's at risk, you're going to make,
you definitely got to get out there.
You're going to save your yield, you know, and things like that. But back to our Cevus, we have a low-cost weed control system. It only costs about $10 an acre for broadleaf and grass, and the seed is competitive, very competitive. We got some very good discounts. March 31st is kind of the deadline for all our good rebates and so on that make us the best choice for value of seed and low input costs, and it's still high yielding, and you get a market premium. So
you actually work with Cargill.
Yes.
With contracts for the farmers out there, and any time that you're working on a contract, you're usually better off than working with just a seed company and put the crop in the ground. Now, you mentioned Cargill and West Fargo. So, and I haven't seen a whole lot of canola in southern North Dakota. Do you think that might be coming back?
We've got some guy just north of Fergus Falls that's growing our canola this year that heard about us on your radio show.
Awesome.
And he's planning on growing more. Yeah, there's people in the Manoman area interested about, but north of Highway 2 in Minnesota, there's a lot of interest in Northeast North Dakota, a lot more in our type of thing. And what's interesting about Cargill, people that have had past associations with them want to ship grain there, as, i.e. the sunflower grower, you know,
sure,
because they're a huge. And so they look at that, they go to their lender, look, I've got a Cargill contract here, this is some floor here for a certain percent. Those are good things, you know, if you come to a, at least that you can make it look like you got a complete plan, you know. Right now, I don't know if anybody would, you know.
No, there's still, and I think you can see by the turnout at this show that, you know what, a lot of people still trying to figure out what they're going to do this coming year.
Yeah, it's just amazing the dynamics every year, and wondering whether things are going to get planted, and they usually do.
Some reason. Yeah. I can't figure that out.
Yeah.
They have to plant.
Exactly.
Whatever. And you know, I've heard this for quite a while, well, since the commodity prices have kind of tanked, that, you know what, seed dealers, all farmers have to have seed. And it's one of those things that they're going to be into. Now, if you're an implement dealer, that's one thing they can cut back on.
Yeah.
But you know what, when it comes to putting that crop in the field, putting that crop in the ground, you definitely got to have seed. And from what I can tell, we should be giving you a call.
Yes, we should. Yeah.
How do we do that?
Well, you can get a hold of me on my cell phone, 701-238-0655. I'll contact my counterpart, Garrett Groves. I don't have a cell number in front of me, but we're readily available. Most of the retailers know us, so that'd be a good starting. Actually, just go in and ask your retailer if they can, you know, obtain our product. If they can't, call us. But we
then you'll make, you know, sure that retailer is going to have that product.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a learning curve, because we're a new company. Some don't even understand us yet. So.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to that. How old is Cevus?
Well, we were founded around 2001, but we've been silently developing traits for other companies under secrecy agreements. So, some of that stuff that we did, you know, is, you know, we're still doing that. We're developing traits for other companies in all kinds of crops. But we just started our own breeding program about 5 or 6 years ago. But it's very good. We rapidly were able to get up or exceed industry standards in a fairly short time with good plant breeding and planting acquisitions and so on. And So science moves fast, you know, if there's an economic incentive.
Except those technologies, they just don't move fast enough. It takes a while, like 7 to 10 years to actually get some of those technologies to work.
Actually, that's a key point, because we can shorten the approval time. It does take $100 million and at least 10 years to develop a regular trait, like the Enlist trait, like the dicamba gene. We can do that with $10 million and 3 years, because we're non-transgenic.
So there are big advantages of working with seafood.
And you don't have to worry about markets accepting your crop or deciding, changing their minds halfway through. It could be a nightmare.
Gee, we never went through that, did we?
Yeah.
I think we did. Okay, Scott, how do we get a hold of you again?
Through our retailers. Again, Scott Anderson, 701-238-0655.
Well, Scott Anderson, you've heard about him before, and now he's with Cibus. He's at the KMOT Ag Expo. And, of course, you're not very far away from us, are you?
No, we're just in the other room in this amazing maze in here. This is a maze of North Dakota, Canadian.
Yeah.
There's people from South Dakota, Minnesota, Montana here.
It was kind of funny. I went out into the parking lot, and I was looking at license plates. Illinois, Saskatchewan, Minnesota, and South Dakota. And I had to look for a North Dakota plate.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Okay, Scott, appreciate the time.
Thank you, Terry.
Okay, we're going